Hunt on Senior Focus.
Your news and information station, AM 1410, WRMN, Elgin.
USA Radio Network News, John Scott reporting the deadline for completing a draft of the Iraqi Constitution is at hand. Iraqi lawmakers have been working against the clock. The two remaining sticking points, the role of Islam in the government and federal autonomy. Kurds in the north want to make sure the draft guarantees their unofficial autonomy. Also, Sunnis want to resist claims for a Shiite region that could challenge Baghdad's control of southern oil. If no agreement is reached today, Parliament could extend the deadline, possibly by about 3 weeks. Israeli soldiers manning the roadblocks to cut off access to Gaza settlements. Jewish settlers will be forcibly evicted from those areas starting on Wednesday. Israel beginning its unilateral withdrawal plan, ending nearly four decades in the Gaza Strip and parts of the West Bank.
At midnight, the Israeli army lowered a gate at a roadblock. A sign underlined the message, entry to the Gaza Strip is forbidden by law. Carloads of Jewish settlers had passed through the gate earlier, packed with their possessions, heading towards new homes. Trucks of Israeli soldiers passed through later, heading to areas where settlers and their supporters refused to leave. Israeli troops plan to first notify and then, starting Wednesday, to forcibly remove Jewish settlers, ending nearly four decades of an Israeli presence in Gaza. Besides Israeli troops, Palestinian police are moving in to prevent militant attacks on the settlements. Laura Iyama.
In early trading this morning, stocks are lower. The Dow is down 16 points now. The Nasdaq is off two. This is USA Radio Network News.
Would you like to own your own business and enjoy financial independence? For as little as $13,995, Transnet Wireless can show you how to capitalize on the exploding public internet market. There is no technical knowledge required. You get everything you need to own and operate your own business. Call 1-800-928-1475. This amazing Wi-Fi internet system provides high-speed wireless internet access for up to 100 users at the same time. You simply receive a monthly check for all the wireless revenue generated at your location. Users without a wireless device can access the internet and or email directly from the machine, payable by cash or credit card. There is unlimited income potential. Call now for your video and information package. 1-800-928-1475. Prime locations are available now. Call 1-800-928-1475.
First Kofi, then Kojo, now Kabina, the brother of UN Secretary General Kofi Annan, under investigation in the oil for food scandal. Claudia Rossett is with the Foundation in Defense of Democracies.
Brother is the ambassador of Ghana to Morocco, and London Sunday Times reported this weekend that his brother is now the subject of investigation by the UN-authorized Volcker investigation here for business ties involving one of the characters who just keeps popping up in the widening Annan family piece of this scandal.
Rossett goes on to say,
Michael Wilson, who worked with Kojo, who was involved with another special advisor to Kofi Annan, Maurice Strong, at one point on the board of a private company. Basically, you have a nest of nepotism here where we just keep seeing more and more and more, and now we're seeing Kofi's brother is involved.
Claudia Rossett with the Foundation in Defense of Democracies. This is USA Radio Network News.
Millions of miles, thousands of TV appearances, hundreds of baseball games, 80 years of history, and a fleet of Goodyear blimps all add up to one big celebration. The Goodyear Blimp Birthday Celebration with sky-high savings on some of Goodyear's most popular tires. Plus, get up to an $80 rebate on a qualifying purchase. Offers end August 27th. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR for complete details and the participating retailer nearest you. Goodyear. For 80 years, it's been a name everyone looks up to. Mail-in rebate.
You get upset and overreact in something, the experience gets inside your head and you get upset with that, make yourself worse. You can break this vicious cycle log on to FHU.com and read Post-Traumatic Stress Syndrome, We All Have It. Listen to my radio program, Advice Line, live streaming on FHU.com 10 to midnight Pacific Time and on over 100 stations. For my book, How Your Mind Can Keep You Well, call 866-RADIO-ROY. I'm Roy Masters.
Milwaukee is the ideal destination for a late summer getaway. From golf and Milwaukee Brewers baseball to attractions and lakefront activities, Milwaukee has something for everyone. Like Pottawatomie Bingo Casino. Open 24 hours daily, Pottawatomie Bingo Casino offers a wide selection of games and over 1,500 slots in smoke-free gaming rooms and live entertainment. Head to the links. Milwaukee County has over 140 parks with over 16 of the most challenging and enjoyable courses. Batter up. Experience Milwaukee Brewers baseball. Miller Park promises the finest in ballpark amenities and fan comfort like tailgating, Bernie Brewer's home run celebration, and racing sausages. Visitors who book their hotel through Visit Milwaukee will receive an experience booklet valued at nearly $400. This booklet is filled with discounted admissions to several of Milwaukee's attractions. To receive a dining and nightlife calendar of events, visit www.visitmilwaukee.org or call 800-554-1448. That's 800-554-1448.
The Route 66 Hotel and Conference Center is a locally owned and operated hotel conveniently located in Springfield. Take a nostalgic trip into the past at this hotel located right on the old Route 66. The Route 66 Hotel features a pool, restaurant, lounge, mini museum, and the perfect location for all the Springfield attractions. If you plan on going to the Illinois State Fair this summer, call the Route 66 Hotel and reserve a room today. The number to call is 217-529-6626. Ask about group rates or reserving a jacuzzi suite for your trip to Springfield.
The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I am your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Derek. How are you doing?
So far, so good.
Are you a Bear fan?
I'm not
thought
worried.
So. Are you still a Bear fan?
I am not worried.
Oh, all the hopes and desires of Chicago Bear fans pinning on this one individual quarterback. Rex Grossman, for those of you who don't cover sports that closely in Chicago, he broke his ankle. Over the, was it Friday night?
Yep, it was Friday.
Oh my. Woe is the Chicago fan, sports fan, for the most part. I guess unless you're a White Sox fan.
I still don't see what Rex Grossman was necessarily going to do to begin with. We haven't seen anything from him, so inexperience is inexperience no matter where it's coming from.
Well, he's been 3 years in a row now. So I guess we haven't seen too much. What we saw, we liked, I thought. Oh, well.
At least Hutchinson's got more than a week to prepare now.
The Sox move on, and the Cubs, I know they aren't going anywhere, but Kerry Wood looked great as a setup relief man last night against the Cards. 4 strikeouts in 2 innings. Oh, he was smoking them in at 99 miles an hour. They couldn't touch him. Got to get excited about something when you're a Cubs fan, you know. It's a little smidgen of excitement.
Got plenty to be excited about. The season's almost over.
All right. Enough abuse of that.
Yeah.
Pipe.
Uh-huh.
Program note, just because I'm so used to forgetting things like this. Next week, program for this show will be an interview of Cindy Sheehan. Cindy Sheehan, the mother of the deceased Iraq war veteran who was camped out in Crawford, Texas in front of George Bush's ranch, wanting to have, to ask George a few pointed questions, I guess. And I guess she's got with her now about 1,000, anti-war sympathizers. The movement's growing. Some are calling Frank Richard, the New York Times, says the war is over. You know, it's through. Everybody knows it but George W.
I sure hope so. I don't know if Frank Rich is right.
I think the neocons have something else cooked up, maybe bombing Iran, you know, maybe cooking up this this other boogeyman of nuclear threat from Iran, which, from what I've understand, they're like at least 10 years away from even having nuclear weapons. But I don't think the neocons are going to give up all that easily. So we shall see what we shall see. But hopefully, unless Cindy's still camped, you know, in front of Crawford Tech, in front of the Bush's Ranch, by next Monday morning, or maybe we do it remote, I don't know. But she's scheduled to be interviewed. That should be a lot of fun. All right. On to the stupid regulation of the week. And this is, it's rather a little hard for me to believe that George W. really is that stupid, because the situation I'm talking about is something that is part and parcel of conservative limited government, limited government learning experience, if you will. Certainly for libertarians, but for limited government conservatives too. And that is the fallacy of government spending creating jobs, creating prosperity, getting the economy moving. Limited government conservatives know better. Yet, President Bush, last Wednesday, while signing the $286.4 billion on what most of us would consider pork, old roads, rails, bridges, rail and bus facilities, bike paths, recreational trails, and other stupid projects, he said it would spur the economy and save lives. And I think he knows better. I'm starting to think that he could be actually devious and stupid at the same time. Most of us, I think, thought he was just stupid, but an honest guy, because most, you know, you figure if he's stupid, you know, most evil people are smart, right? Bill Clinton was smart, is smart. There is an economic fallacy that has been known for over a century now. Century and a half. First exposed by the great French economic journalist Frédéric Bastiat. What he called the seen versus the unseen. And then it was popularized by Henry Hazlitt, one of limited government conservatives' favorite authors of time past, in his book, Economics in One Lesson. There is a fallacy here where they say, well, government spending, all this money will create jobs and boost the economy. See, the scene looks like, okay, that money's spent and that, you know, it creates jobs and it creates, you know, economic activity, so it creates wealth. I mean, that's what the scene is. What the unseen is, though, except those of us who are knowledgeable or intelligent enough to recognize it, is that $286.4 billion has to come from somewhere. It has to come from taxpayers' pocketbooks. Or if you're borrowing it, future generations' taxpayers' pocketbooks. Or it has to come just by printing more money, which just inflates the economy, which is, again, taxpayers' citizens' pocketbooks. So all that money that's being spent that supposedly is creating jobs on the one hand is taking away jobs on the other. Because those people that sent that money to Washington could have been spending it on their own choice of what they want to spend it on. So the difference here, folks, really is in that no economic activity is created. In fact, in that it's you could say true economic activity is decreased because the economic choice of the individual American taxpayer is taken away and replaced by the bureaucrats and politicians of Washington. That's what's really going on here, folks. Usually, in the past, it was the Democratic Party that always used this economic sophistry in promoting big government, saying that all this spending spurs the economy. It's absolute nonsense, folks. It's an absolute lie. It's an absolute lie. Our great leader, George Bush, is lying to you when he says that it'll spur the economy. It's absolute nonsense. It's an absolute lie. And it replaces market decisions with political ones. It replaces choice with force. And it replaces honesty with fraud. President Bush is lying to you while forcibly taking your money and destroying the economy by signing this bill, along with all the other Republicans who signed this bill, and the Democrats. But remember, folks, the Republicans are in power. Where are they getting this money, this $286.4 billion? From you and me, folks, one way or another. Wealth does not develop out of nothing. That's one of the most stupid regulations. Regulation of the Congress spending your money to create for economic growth. Absolute nonsense. So, anytime you hear that, folks, beware. I don't have time to get. I've mentioned this allegory before of the brick going through the butcher's window. But check it out. You could search it on the internet. Search Bastiat and Butcher's Window or something like that. You can read the allegorical story of how just because somebody broke the window and a glazier is put gets more business from that, that doesn't mean in net that everybody's better off. No. The worse off. Okay, this is Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John. We will have a guest today, Steve Stanek, who is the managing editor of Budget and Tax News for the Heartland Institute, will be our guest after we break for a few messages. Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruption, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, non-profit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support. Okay, we are back with Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. Well, folks, we can't seem to get a hold of our guest, Steve Stanek. Maybe he forgot. I don't know. We got his voicemail, so we're going to hopefully we'll get a call back from him soon. If not, or until then, we have an open line. Anything about politics, law, economics, or philosophy is welcome. In the meantime, I guess I do have time to tell the allegorical story of the brick through the glazier's window, then, which I've told maybe at least twice before, but it bears repeating, and it bears repeating to George W. Bush, but I think he does know better. But in case he doesn't, in a case Secret Service are listening, they can send this over to George. Okay, here's the deal. Okay, somebody throws a brick in the butcher's window, okay, and the butcher's, you know, cries and laments, you know, oh my gosh, now I gotta pay money to, you know, get the window fixed. I gotta call a glazier. And it's one of the customers say, hey, no, hey, you shouldn't really be upset about it because you know what's going to happen? You know, you're going to be spending money into the economy. You're going to be paying that glazier, and then he's going to have more money to spend. And so he can pay for something else, a service he needs, like a roof or whatever. And then the roofer will get money, and he can pay for more food and or clothing, and they'll have people who grow food or make clothing will have more money. And see, it all makes the economy richer. And the butcher says, well, that's all well and good, but you know what? That money I was going to spend, that money that I now have to spend to repair the window, fix the window, well, I was going to buy a new meat slicing machine. And so now the ones who make those meat slicing machines are not going to be as well off, and it's going to have the exact opposite effect on the economy that you say. And in net, I will be out, you know, whatever, $500 less because of the window broken. And see, that's the point, folks. So again, it's the seen versus the unseen. People think, oh, just because you employ somebody, that's going to create wealth. But it's not necessarily true. It depends on where that money's coming from. Is it coming from productivity or destruction? You pay a person to dig a hole and fill it. Is that creating wealth? Or is that just a meaningless exercise, monetarily meaningless exercise of wasting money? And see, that's what you really have when you allow the politicians and the bureaucrats through political force to make economic decisions. You're actually wasting money. You're actually, in effect, allegorically, paying a man to dig a hole and fill it. So anytime you hear a politician say how you just by taking money from you, spending money, that's going to create economic growth, let your antennae perk up and beware that what they're really doing is stealing from you and exchanging your choice, which will spur economic activity, for theirs, and in the process, they're stealing from you. All right, let's go to the phones. We have Grace. Hello, Grace.
Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
You know, Ken, I am 72 years old. I remember the Second World War when all the plants in St. Charles and Fox Valley were working three shifts to supply our troops.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the Korean War and the Vietnam War when our troops were supplied. Then I read in the paper that four of our troops were killed in a marine amphibious vehicle that was supposed to go in the water, and they use it in the desert. It just appalls me, Ken, that our boys don't even have the protection they need.
Do you think the politicians in Washington care about that?
No, they don't.
Obviously not.
But then I also read in the same in the Tribune about the bulletproof vests that they're wearing. They're not working right. Now,
it's government. What do you expect? What do you expect?
But we have no manufacturing base, and they put down the American workers, but the American workers are too lazy and they can't do it right.
Oh, they could do it right. They're hamstrung by excessive regulations and taxation. Right. That's what keeps the American worker and American productivity down.
But they have no factories anymore.
Yeah, because they're regulated to death. When's the last time a refinery has been built in this country? Do you know the answer to that?
No.
1978.
Oh, my.
And you wonder why we got record oil prices right now.
It just appalls me that this country should be geared up to take care of ourselves and our troops. It's just like sending them out there on a shooting range.
Well, I think the best way we can take care of our troops is get them the hell out of the Middle East right
Amen.
Now.
Amen. Amen.
And everywhere else around the world. Protect America. Protect our borders. Fine. That's it.
That's
the troops would be for defense
to.
Only, not this neocon offense that has come to the point of, it's just so outrageous. There are now some people really seriously talking about impeachment. Because if Bush, I think I read a poll that's supposed to be a valid, scientific poll that I think was 25% of Americans now say that if George Bush lied about getting us in Iraq, that then they believe he should be impeached.
Well, now he's going after Iran.
Oh, I know. Well, the neocons will never stop. They'll never admit that they're wrong. Totally wrong. Brutally wrong. Tragically wrong.
And Russia and China are going to start war games August 15th because they're afraid of the dominion of the United States instead of the Tribune.
The American Empire is not going to die softly, I'm afraid. We may be in for some more interesting times.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Grace. Okay, hello. Therese.
Hi, Ken.
How you doing? Friend. All right.
What you're saying is it's really so disgusting. That's why I was against it from the very beginning, because
right.
It was not justified at all. And the front page of the Daily Herald, what was it, Sunday, there was an interview by Bush was interviewed, and in it he said, in the interview, Bush said, the United States and Israel are united in our objective to make sure that Iran does not have a weapon. And this is going to be, since when are we supposed to fight wars for Israel or any other country, not just them, any other country?
Well, we've been doing that for a long time, I guess, haven't we?
That's right. We have known that. Anyway, reason I'm calling is next Sunday, this is very, very important. I hope you can attend this. Next Sunday at the Schaumburg Public Library at 2 o'clock, a gentleman by the name of William Rodriguez is going to speak. He was a maintenance man at the World Trade Center. He had one of the five master keys, and he was one of the men out of the building. And he's going to speak because he did hear bombs go off.
Inside?
Inside. Yes, he did. And he wasn't the only one. But he also said that the firemen and the policemen, whether they have gag orders, they are not allowed to speak. And he does have a suit against, Bush. And the gentleman is very honest, and he did say that we could record it or tape it.
The thought for 999 Americans out of 1,000, the thought that their government quite possibly could have been behind something so horrendous, so tragic, so terrible, is so beyond the pale for them that they are not willing to even fathom the notion of it.
I understand that, but if they would have, you know, they would know their history, learn their history. They have other countries have done this before.
Oh, but that was the Germans. Those were the Nazi Germans.
Yeah. But
Americans are different for some reason.
Oh. Well, they've taken up a lot of bad things that other countries have done. But however, even when those buildings went down, I wasn't watching that day, but I watched the films after. It looked like a beautiful implosion. In other words, that it was manipulated, and you could tell that.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll tell you this. I do not put it past anybody to do that. I just don't have enough of the knowledge myself, and I should go to see that, see what this guy says.
I wish you would, and everybody else there. It's going to be, I think it's very, very important that people hear the truth. And he's not stopping, and thank God he's not. And he did testify before the 9/11 commission, but of course they did not have his testimony in there. They don't want the truth, and they had, like he said, they had people testify who weren't even there. And I think the truth will come out, and as much as the truth hurts, we have to know what's going on.
If the truth actually, what you're saying is the truth, so it actually does come out, what do you think the reaction of the American public will be?
Oh, golly, I don't know. They are so dumbed down, or they are so stupid. I have no idea, but it should be outrage, and it should be, the reaction should be that they want to throw him out of the White House and the people that are...
Well, no, I would think he'd be held accountable for murder. I mean,
it's
true.
Exactly. But the, you know, some of the action, right, reaction might be, oh, we're just going to go our long, you know, along our merry way, even though it's true, we can't do anything about it. Well, that's not... I don't know, because I've seen... let's put it this way. So many of my friends and relatives are just liberal, it makes me sick. I was talking to somebody on Sunday, and she said, well, I just hope that all the guns are taken away from everybody. And then she walked away from me.
The naivete of that is just so stunning.
They are, because this individual was informed that she was going to be on a president's commission for aging. And she expected me to say how wonderful. I said, well, that's too bad. And I said, I'm sure the report is already written. And, you know, when I'm sick of all this discussion on aging people, in other words, okay, I'm going to be 70. And I don't feel like I'm aging. And I still want to think like I'm young. And it seems like they want people or senior citizens to reach the point where if they're aging, they should just have fun, just stay home and take their drugs or medication, get sicker, not be involved in anything worthwhile. In other words, they should be involved in legislation, finding out what's going on in the government. Because if anybody, these senior citizens, people over 70, had enjoyed the fruits of their labor, and they were brought up in a country when we were free a long time ago. And it just burns me up when there are so many people don't want to do anything about it. And then people will say to me, well, I'm too old, I'm going to die, I won't see it. Well, even if they don't see it, what about the ancestors? Even if they didn't have children or grandchildren, the people that are coming after us, we owe them. It's our moral obligation to try to stop something and try to expose it. And so anyway, I just hope that a lot of people can get to that meeting on Sunday. And Ken, I really hope you go there.
I appreciate your call, Therese, and I'll very much try to make that.
Okay.
Okay. We do have Steve Stanek has called in. He's on the line, but I think Mike's not. Let's take Mike's call real quick, and then we'll break. Hello, Mike.
Morning, Ken. Just wanted to update you. Last week I talked to you about getting Joe Bannister on. I forwarded an email to his attorney.
Right.
The response that Joe has now got it, and so we're waiting on a response from Joe, and I sent him your email and have address. So
very good, and my scheduler is working on that, too. So.
All right, well, appreciate that. You're doing a fine job down there. I'll let you get to your guests, and I'll keep listening.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
Bye.
All right, this is Freedom Rings. We'll be back after a few messages.
Reduce children to their lowest common denominator. 57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones.
Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19 out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka. We elected Bill Clinton as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public school.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Okay, we are back with Freedom Rings. I'd like to welcome to the show today Steve Stanek, Managing Editor of Budget Tax News. Welcome back, Steve.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Okay, well, we're supposed to talk about Social Security today. But first, I just thought my stupid regulation of the week at the beginning of the show referred to President Bush, who said that after signing the $286.4 billion spending bill on roads, bridges, rails, and facilities and other pork, he said that this is a great thing because it would spur the economy.
It's a joke. It's a pathetic joke.
It's a pathetic joke. And I'm thinking, as stupid as George Bush, I think, is, I think this is a lie. Because I think he must have, over time, understood, which is part of every learning fair of the limited government conservative type, that's an economic fallacy.
Well, I think that's been demonstrated time and again. And to give you a good example of the difference between George Bush and Ronald Reagan, another conservative president, Reagan vetoed a transportation bill that had 150-some earmarks in it. George Bush, who has not vetoed a single bill in his entire presidency, signed this bill that had more than 6,000 earmarks in it. It's a staggering amount of wasteful spending, and he still could not see fit to veto the bill, which came in billions and billions of dollars higher than what he said he wanted it to be anyway. he originally said he would veto a bill that exceeded 250 some billion, and here this bill came in way over that, and he wound up signing it. I don't understand what's going through the minds of Bush and other Republican leaders.
And I guess, to be honest with you, I don't understand what goes through the minds of Republicans who continually support this guy.
They can no longer call themselves a party of fiscal responsibility and limited government.
Well, I think that went by the wayside a long time ago.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Social Security.
Sure.
This is a system that actually is the tax that most Americans pay the most.
80% of taxpayers pay more in Social Security tax than they pay in income tax.
And it's not the 7% I think most people think it is it? It's because the employer matches that.
It's 12.4% right off the top.
Right off the top. And what kind of return are they getting these days?
They're getting almost no return. If you're a young worker today just entering the job market, you probably will lose money. In other words, you will never collect as much in retirement as you pay in over the course of your working life if things continue as they are.
What about the senior citizens who first got the benefits from Social Security back in 1936-37? What kind of return did they get?
Well, the first woman to ever collect Social Security, Ida Mae Fuller, I believe her name was, had a 46,000% return. You heard that right.
Didn't Guy Ponzi go to jail for that kind of a thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't this a classic chain letter?
Oh, it is. It is.
Pyramid scheme?
There is no way that Social Security continue as it has, as it's done so far, and continue to pay benefits.
So what do we do about it?
Well, I don't know. There are a number of proposals. A lot of them seem to be going nowhere. The one proposal that probably has received the most attention is President Bush's idea to allow individual retirement accounts where you could take a portion of the amount you would pay in tax and put that into an individual account that would be yours.
Not managed by government? Because I thought I had heard that Bush had already given in to the Democrats who wanted, it might be your account to manage, but I think it was only certain investments that could be made.
Yeah, there would be limitations on it. There are a whole bunch of proposals and counter-proposals floating around out there. The situation is very complicated. There's a lot of demagoguing going on, and I really don't know what might work, what might not. The attractiveness of an individual retirement account is that under Social Security as it currently exists, there is no such thing as a trust fund for you or me or anybody else.
Nope.
Millions and millions of people believe this trust fund puts away money in their name, and it's their money, and when they retire, they start getting the money they paid in, and that is simply false.
Right.
All you do is you pay your money, your Social Security, your employer also pays your portion of Social Security, and that money flows into the government, and then it flows out to current recipients. There is no guarantee that anybody will receive benefits down the future. In fact, there's actually a court case in the 1960s, it's a U.S. Supreme Court case, which says we are not entitled to this money. In other words, if the government tomorrow decides we can't afford Social Security anymore, we're going to end the program and stop cutting checks, they have the legal right to do it.
So they call it insurance.
It's not.
It's not.
No.
Not fraud?
There's not a trust fund. It's not insurance. It's a huge lie. If the government told people that you have individual rights to this money and it's your money that you're going to get back, that's a lie.
And if private corporate annuities were handled this way, where would the officers of that corporation be?
Well, they'd be in prison.
Yet for some reason, why is it, and that's what I would like to know, why is it that the American public allows without, you know,
I don't know.
Well, pitchforks to Washington, torches. Why did they allow politicians to get away with what they wouldn't allow a corporate guy that's doing 100th to 1,000th of what the government does?
We've done it since the beginning of the country. Congress routinely makes laws that apply to everybody in the United States except congressmen and senators. OSHA laws don't apply. EEOC laws don't apply. There are all kinds of laws that apply to you and me that don't apply to Congress. In the establishment of programs like this, I think there's a lot of ideologically driven wishful thinking. I think there are millions and millions of Americans who like the idea of the government doing everything for them, and they like the idea of getting handouts. They don't think about what they're handing over to get their handouts.
Personal responsibility is a scary thing for a lot of people.
Oh, it is. There are millions of people who like the idea of a government that gives us our medicine and gives us our health care and gives us our education and gives us our retirement, and they probably wish government would give us our cars and our clothing too. So there's that.
They're feeding in what used to be the open field trough that's now been penned around them.
Yeah, I think millions of people simply like the idea of a big paternalistic government, and so they're willing to put up with it. I think also there are millions of people who just have a very poor understanding of how things work. I think there are millions of other people who genuinely believe that when you pay Social Security tax each month, it goes into an account with your name on it, and when you retire, you're going to get back the money you paid in with interest. They just don't realize that it's simply money in, money out, and the money that current retirees get, all of it, every penny, comes from current workers. And when today's workers retire, if there's Social Security 40 or 50 years from now, every penny of it is going to come from the workers who were at work then. The growth of Social Security is staggering. Let me give you just a couple of examples here. The current tax rate for Social Security is 12.4% on $90,000. On the first $90,000 you earn, you're taxed 12.4%. That is well over $11,000 a year you can pay in Social Security tax. In 1950, the Social Security tax rate was 2% on $3,000. That's $60. So we've gone from a maximum amount of taxable Social Security income of $3,000 to $90,000. We've gone in dollars.
Corey, is that for inflation?
Oh, that's way beyond inflation.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying, the thing is, that very process creates inflation.
Oh, sure.
So.
And we've gone from a maximum of $30. A maximum of 2% of 3,000 to 12.4% of $90,000. So we've gone from $60 to well over $11,000 maximum you can pay in a year. The growth in payments is staggering. I got this from the Social Security Commission. You can find all this on the website. In 1950, total payments to recipients were $961 million. So not even $1 billion in 1950. Last year, we paid more than $500 billion. So we're paying out now more than 500 times as much money as we paid out in 1950. And the growth is continuing.
We
have people who say there's no problem with Social Security.
No problem with Social Security. It's absolutely staggering. And to me, the most evil aspect of this scheme, to use a liberal demagogue's term, is that when Ponzi did this, it was a voluntary thing if you got involved in it.
It was supposed to be, it was originally supposed to be voluntary.
And this is ostensibly at least mandatory.
Oh, sure, you go to prison if you try to get out of Social Security.
Well, they'll at least threaten it.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody actually has.
I don't know.
But they will threaten it. We're talking with Steve Stanek, who is the managing editor of Budget and Tax News for the Heartland Institute. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. If you have any calls, questions, comments, observations, analyses, give us a call. We will be back after a few messages.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Ring to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including school reform news, environment and climate news, and the Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Ring. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Ring, and thank you for your support.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, 1 block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
We are back with Freedom Rings. We're talking with Steve Stanek, Managing Editor of Budget and Tax News for the Heartland Institute. And I guess before we go to the phone, Steve, let's mention that people can get more information about the Heartland Institute at heartland.org, correct?
Correct.
or calling 312-377-4000.
Right.
Okay, let's go to the phones. We have Norb on the line. Hello, Norb.
How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Okay. I got a question for you and your guest there. What do you honestly believe is going to happen to Social Security with the way people are nowadays, with the way the government, how they react, and if you believe that Social Security is going to go under or bankrupt, how is that going to affect our country's economy on a worldwide basis? How are how's the rest of the world going to look at the American dollar?
Well, let's Steve answer that first.
Well, I don't know. That's a tough question. You need an economist with a lot more brains than I have to talk about 40 or 50 years down the road what might happen to the economy if it collapses. My gut feeling is that nothing is going to happen in a substantive way with Social Security in the foreseeable future. I don't think George Bush and the Republicans can overcome Democrat opposition right now. I think things will continue to roll along, which means every year we'll have a huge increase in the amount of benefits paid out. I think over time there will be moves to raise the retirement rate. There will probably be moves to raise the Social Security tax. We have an estimate, I forget who gave us this estimate, just saw it recently, that in 40 years the Social Security tax would need to be 26% to continue paying promised benefits. Right now it's 12.4%, so that would more than double. And that's before you pay any federal income tax, any gasoline taxes, sales taxes, or any other taxes. I don't know that it can continue that way. We're going to bankrupt future generations to pay for it. I just marvel that there is such a lot of opposition to doing anything the president suggests. And I don't even know how much his proposals would work, to tell you the truth. I think
they're pretty minuscule in the week.
And
it may do more harm than good, because make it privatization a bad name. My position is somewhat like yours, Steve. I think we're going to plot along. I think there'll be minor tax increases. Mm-hmm. There will be minor, but the benefits, I think what they're going to be raising the age.
I think they'll raise.
Now, all this people should understand is default. This is all default. If you look at it from an insurance viewpoint.
I mean, actuarially, right now, they're saying that within 40 years, if things continue as they are right now, Social Security will be able to pay somewhere around 73% of promised benefits. So that, in effect, is a cut in benefits of a quarter. Yeah. And this is the thing that I don't understand from the Democrats. They slam all the proposals to reform. I shouldn't say the Democrats. There are
a lot of Republicans, too.
Yeah, there are some Republicans who slam them also. But at least there are some proposals out there, serious proposals, to try to deal with this problem. The opposition doesn't offer any solution.
No. It's going to have to get to the point where the people can't stand the tax increases anymore, and it will collapse. But I want to address what the implication of his final question was that it would devastate the world economy.
No,
and the exact opposite is true. And it's just what we talked about. I talked about the seen versus the unseen earlier.
Yeah.
Henry Hazlett and Frederick Bastiat's point on this. And that's government money. Money back in the hands of the people can only help the economy.
Yeah, I think if Social Security were to just collapse, if the government were to do what I said earlier and just say, we can't afford it anymore, folks, we're ending it tomorrow, I think there would be huge disruptions because you have so many people who depend on Social Security. So I cannot see that as a realistic threat. I think what will happen will be increases in the retirement rate, probably increases in tax rates, reductions in benefits by a number of means. They could continue giving out benefits, but then they could tax those benefits.
Steve, I got to run. Thank you very much for being on the show today.
Thanks.
I really appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, this from Supreme Court Justice Arthur Goldberg, if I can get it out. It is fundamental that the great powers of Congress to conduct war and to regulate the nation's foreign relations are subject to the constitutional requirements of due process. The imperative necessity for safeguarding these rights to procedural due process under the gravest of emergencies has existed throughout our constitutional history. For it is then, under the pressing exigencies of crisis, that there is the greatest temptation to dispense with fundamental constitutional guarantees, which it is feared will inhibit governmental action. The Constitution of the United States is a law for rulers in peace, equally in war and peace, and covers with a shred of its protection all classes of men at all times.
The preceding paid program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.